This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
We are still talking with defense attorney and podcast host Bob Mata. Bob hosts the podcast Defense Diaries. Extremely interesting podcast to listen to, by the way. I want to talk about Daybell, Lori Daybell specifically, as the trial is about to get underway, jury selection beginning in just a few days. This is likely not going to be an easy task of selecting those jurors.
Man, it's such a tragic case. I mean, it's another familicide. Like, we got a mother that is being accused of killing her children. It's such a devastating. It's so hard for normal people to kind of really wrap their mind around that concept.
Sure.
But and there's been just so much publicity about it. And it's like that with every high publicity case, man, where, the number one concern as an attorney is trying to impanel a fair and impartial jury, and it's going to be challenging. It's one of those things where everyone knows about the case, and I've handled trials like that where, you're really, and both sides want it. It's not like the state doesn't want to have anything getting overturned on appeal because they find out after the fact that, these jurors had some kind of bias, that they didn't divulge at the time that they did for Dyer when they're picking the jury. Both sides, the state and the defense, want a fair and impartial jury because that's the only way you can really get justice in these types of cases. So that's going to be a big, big challenge. And it's interesting in the sense that, they severed these two cases. You've got Chad, he's going to go to his own trial, which will be after Lori's trial, typically when you've got co-defendants in a case, you want to try them together because it's all the same set of circumstances and facts.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, financially, from the perspective of the state, it's going to cost them a heck of a lot more money to try both cases separately. But in the interest of justice, they felt that this was the only way to do it. What I'm dying to know is Chad going to flip?
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to turn state's evidence and turn on her and get on the stand during her trial as a witness for the state and just completely obliterate her and put everything on her? Like that's what I'm waiting to see. That's going to happen. So
would something like that, could a deal be made with Chad of that nature where, look, this absolutely. One's going first, you flip, you're going to get a less penalty?
Yes. Yeah, it happens all the time.
Even if he's intimately involved in the murder itself as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Like if you get one of the two, I'm sure both of them have been approached. Any time where you got co-defendants, they're mm-hmm. always trying to go at these guys to flip on each other, to get the story out.
Mm-hmm.
So I anticipate that. So the short answer is yes, that absolutely can happen. The question is whether or not it will. If they're going to, because look, these two are not in communication anymore.
No.
What I'm saying? So like anything that they're sending out to each other is read. From the jail, there is legal mail is the only thing that the jail is not allowed to look at with respect to, any kind of communications between these two. Obviously, any kind of phone conversations are reported and reviewed. So they have no way to be conspiring with each other to say, hey, stay the course
mm-hmm.
here. So you've got two people that have been separated that both have their lives on the line, even though as far as the case is because of the failure to disclose some of the evidence early on, they took the death penalty off the table for as far as Lori's case goes. You're talking about the rest of your life in prison here. So, there's very high stakes and neither one of them really knows what they're going to do. I mean, at this juncture, we know since trial is imminent for Lori that this thing that she's not flipping,
mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting to see if she's going to testify. I wouldn't put her on in a million years. I mean, she's just way too unstable
yeah.
as far as the side of it goes to risk putting her on because I she will never come off seeming normal because she's not normal.
Yeah, without a doubt. With the possibility of flipping, when I look at both of these characters and you just see their demeanor, their body language and such, when you see Lori in the last couple of hearings, she always seems to have this very flippant attitude, this almost, I know more than the rest of you know, look. But I kind of attribute that to the delusions, where I think she's still playing along. I think she still believes that this game of, or it's not a game, it's life, of what she did was probably right, probably justified in terms of her mind and the way her doctrine or religion or whatever you want to call it operates. I don't know the same about Chad, though. So I don't know that Lori was even capable of flipping. Chad, however, I don't know. I kind of get a different vibe from him of when he sees her in court, he makes the friendly smile and such. But it feels very different than the same than the expressions that she's making towards him, almost like he's just going to kind of keep up appearances until it's his turn. But it does certainly raise eyebrows to the prospect of him flipping on her in court. And I don't know. What's your feelings on that? I feel like he'd be more capable of doing that than her.
I agree completely. You know, like the way I view it is exactly the same way you do. I think that she was, you know, she was the ringleader. I think that she was the one who indoctrinated him, not the other way around.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think she was the one who really, like, when she bought into it, you know, in terms of the concept of, you know, whatever their doomsday cult was, that was something that became her persona, you know, and I think that she was the one. You know, because kind of like when you look at the two of them, she was pretty attractive, and he seemed like he kind of outkicked his coverage a little bit with her, you know, in terms of just looks.
Yeah.
I know that's a little bit vain and shallow, but, you know, that's a reality a lot of times. And like my impression is that she was the one running the show.
Yeah.
That he was captivated with her, and, you know, these were the things that she was just planting the seeds and what she needed to have happen, and whether or not, you know, it was something that she actually believed, which it seems like. I agree with you. I think that she really believed what was going on in her mind, you know, and that kind of goes to the mental illness side of it, you know. And there was a lot of talk early on because insanity defense is not on the table in Idaho.
No,
it's not something you can bring. It's not a defense that you can bring, you know, as far as, there's elements of mental illness that you can litigate in Idaho, but it's not like you can't say she could not comport her behavior to the law, which is your kind of your standard insanity defense. There you could say, like, look, in her mind, she didn't view the children as human beings, but she thought that they were like wolves, you know, uh-huh. And that like her. So she didn't think that she was killing humans. She thought she was killing wolves. Which is kind of a weird scenario, but when the Koberger thing first came out, I was trying to understand what was going in on with Idaho with respect to kind of them saying, look, we're taking the insanity defense off the table as a defense, but we're going to incorporate that, you know, in terms of the mens rea aspect of it, the mental side of it, that there is a way that you can show that, you know, this person didn't have the intent to kill a human being, which is what the statute requires, that they thought that they were doing something else and that they didn't view the kids as human beings. It's a stretch, but, you know, as far as the way it's going to play out, man, it's going to be, that's what you and I were talking about. I'm bummed that this thing isn't going to be streamed for us to watch, which, you know, again, man, it's like trials are supposed to be public for a reason. It's for mm-hmm. transparency and it's for accountability so that we as the public and see what is going on with these things, make sure that law enforcement did everything on the up and up, you know, and make sure that the process is working as it should. So, you know, I'm pretty bummed about that. Yeah, we'll get some after the fact sound, but it's not the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then they're cherry picking in terms of whoever's going to be broadcasting it, what we're hearing, as opposed to being able to hear every single word that comes out of these people's mouths during the course of the trial. So, yeah, that's a bit of a bummer. And I anticipate it's going to be the same thing for Koberger, which I know the country, because of the interest in that case, is going to be, you know, up in arms about that fact. But I anticipate we're going to see the same thing there because they've had that case on lockdown, too.
Yeah. Idaho is a very strange state for these sort of things. And it's also very strange that we have so many high profile cases coming out of relatively the same area. right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it?
It is. It's that. There's also been a lot of ex-Mormon cases as well.
Yes.
Where it's somebody who was in that church, or actually still, there has been somewhere they still are in the church, but it seems to also be kind of a breeding ground for some of this behavior or these beliefs that go so far off the rail. And I'm not saying that specifically about LDS. I'm speaking more so when they break off and kind of create their own lands, as almost any time someone breaks off of some sort of religion, it kind of goes off the rails a bit if it goes to some sort of extreme. What I am wondering about is if Chad were to testify against Lori, I at that point, and I've been saying this to a lot of people, of is Lori going to make it through this entire trial being deemed competent through the whole thing? I'm wondering if at some point she's going to break again and her attorney's going to have to go to the judge and say, look, she does not understand truly what's going on in front of her. And this, we got to stop this mistrial, whatever. She needs to be, you know, back in mental health facilities. If Chad were to do that, if that would almost guarantee this woman is going to break longer be competent.
I mean, it's the competency thing is tough. You know, I got handled a case in Omaha, Nebraska with Dr. Ancia, and we had challenged our client's competency three times, you know, because of the fact that, and there's a lot of elements. It's not just, can you understand, you know, the legal process? You know, do you know what a judge is? Do you know what you're charged with? Do you understand everything that's going on around you? But it's also, do they have the mental capacity to be able to assist in their own defense? And that's the bigger thing with Daybell, where that will be the issue. Mm-hmm. You know, and then obviously there's going to be some smart people that are involved. They're going to be thinking that it's a ruse, that if she loses it in terms of the timing, because Chad is now flipped and he's testifying against her, that's suspect. You know what I
sure.
mean? Like, they're going to know that there's some gamesmanship there. And ultimately that's going to come back and I think probably work against her heavily, in the sense that they're going to know that it's a ruse, you know, but you know, like I've never been privy to her medical record.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with her mentally. I know that, you know, in order to like kind of get to the point where capacity wise, that you're able to do that to your own children, that you're broken mentally, you know,
yeah.
There's no other explanation for it. You know, I mean, somebody is not thinking rationally. If you get to that point where you're able to end your own children's lives, there's something wrong mentally, you know, and we all kind of know that. And it gets murky with, you know, we want justice for these poor children that lost their lives so senselessly. And then, you know, the concept that, look, she may not have had control of her own thought processes to the extent where she was able to be able to commit these crimes, man. And it's like, it's a hard pill to swallow, but it's something that really kind of has to be looked at. And, you know, it's just as human beings, we look at it and we're like, man, like she's got to pay. You know what I'm saying? And like, no matter what's going on with her brain, she's got to pay. And I don't know if that's always the right answer, but you know, it's just kind of how we're built as human beings. It's like, you know, you do something like that, you got to go down for it, you know, and go down hard. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. But I like I said, man, I fully anticipate that they've gone to Chad and they have said, look, you know, we can lighten the load on you in terms of the sentence, but you're going to have to talk. You're going to have to tell us what went down. You know, that she was the one who was facilitating all this and you were basically kind of a minion. And, you know, she was like really kind of like orchestrating all of this to happen. And you were merely kind of, you know, just going along with it because she had you under some kind of spell. You know, I mean, that's going to be something that's going to come out. And, you know, obviously her attorneys are going to be able to cross-examine him on whatever deal he gets. You know, so the jury will be able to give that as much weight as they want. You know, they'll be able to say, look, you know, this guy's just trying to save his own skin.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to give it any credence whatsoever. Or maybe they buy it if the guy's really compelling. But, I mean, the one thing that will definitely happen is he'll have to get on and testify to it. You know, I mean, like if he's going to flip, he's going to have to go all in and flip, and he's going to have to tell the story, and, you know, which will obviously obviously subject him to cross-examination, and that would be one heck of a cross-examination to watch, man. Yeah.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Big thank you to Bob for giving us his insights on all the Daybell drama that's about to be dropped on all of us. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of that as it gets underway next week. We even have a podcast that specifically follows the Daybells. It's called Demise of the Daybells. Search it wherever you get podcasts and press subscribe over there if you want to follow the trial and the case of the Daybells exclusively. Of course, we'll have all the coverage for you right here as well. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.